This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to The Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM. And it's a little chilly outside, 43 degrees, but we're trying to figure it out, how to remember how to wear jackets and such. I don't know.
Yeah. What a change.
I had to dig mine out this morning. So, yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Today, let's see. This is the best time to plant a tree, a shrub, perennial, or even grass. This is, for me, through all my experiment and through all my years, this is the best time. One reason is there's less stress on the plant. The number one reason a plant fails is due to stress and going into dormancy, there's less need for food, water, and there's fewer pests. So that makes it a lot easier on the plant. Also, it's the best time to mulch, in my opinion.
A lot of people think spring is.
Yeah. And that's all right. But I like to do it in the fall. I think that's a good time. Number one, because it puts kind of a thermal blanket over the soil around your plant where the root system is, and that gives the roots a chance to continue to grow. Although, you know, most people find it hard to believe, but most trees and shrubs, their root systems are active all winter long and until the soil really freezes solid, which, you know, a lot of years it just doesn't happen here. So the root system does continue to grow, but with that nice fresh layer of mulch, they're going to be able to continue to grow, collect food, store food, and be much healthier come spring. And then also, a lot of those fall weed seeds that are floating around, once you mulch, you've buried them under the mulch. So that's a very slim chance, because now they're in darkness, that they're going to germinate. So it it can help on the weeds, weed growth in our mulch beds. And that mulch that you put on this time of year, since the temperatures are dropping, it has very little chance of decomposing, rotting down. So that come spring, you're still going to have that fresh layer of mulch there. And that's going to open it up for you to do many other things in your garden instead of spending a lot of time mulching. And, you know, there can be a mulch problem finding it in the spring. So fall is, in my opinion, one of the best times to mulch. My favorite time to mulch. Temperatures are better, not so frequent spring rains, and just looks good, and it's good and healthy for the plant. Excuse me.
Using that cough button like a pro. See, yeah. I told you this weather is awful. 43 degrees and we're falling apart.
Yeah. How about it? what else do I want to talk about? So planting a tree, this is important. A lot of people miss this, and I got a little drawing here because I couldn't bring in a whole tree.
A drawing for the radio, thanks.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So this will be for our friends on Facebook Live, too.
So here's a picture of my tree, and you can see the trunk here and a few limbs going off that way. But as you get down towards the ground, it kind of flares out. We call that the root flare.
Yeah.
Okay. The root flare. Now, that is extremely important when planting a new tree, that you look and identify that root flare. That should be above the mulch layer, even above the soil, even above the mulch. There's different cells in that area that are susceptible to rot and disease. So that has to be above the soil and above the mulch layer in order to survive. That's where a lot of trees fail, by people planting them a little bit too deep, thinking, well, I got to get soil all over the root system. That's not true. You know, go look at one of your old trees. There's a lot of roots on the surface of the soil, and they're a different kind of root than the one that's deeper. Those roots at the surface, they are collecting air. The ones deeper, they're collecting water.
Oh, neat. Okay.
So important, and I can't stress it enough, when you plant that new tree, make sure that root flare is above the soil. And even to the point where when I plant a tree, I even like to have a few of the roots showing even above the soil. Now, I'm going to mulch over the top of them, but they're still going to be able to get air. But don't mulch up and touch that root flare, because rot can occur there very easily. Gives all the rodents and insects easy chance to go through that mulch and penetrate that bark layer on the root flare. So keep that in mind. That's advice that I go by all the time. Always plant a tree or a shrub a little higher than what you think it should be. It will survive much better than planting it deeper. So don't pile soil, you know, in that area.
So don't keep it, don't try to anchor it down by putting it too deep.
Yes.
Maybe help it along with a post instead.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, yes indeed. And, you know, so that will remind me, a lot of websites and so on say don't stake a tree. You know, in my experience of planting thousands of trees, yes, stake a tree for that first year. It's highly beneficial for our area. Maybe in other areas it's not beneficial, but in our area, because we can get some strong winds. And every time a newly planted tree starts to sway in the wind, those brand new roots there are as thin as hairs. So they can, it can be pulling on them and breaking them. So if we stake it for the first year, let those little hair roots get established and a little bigger for next year, then we can remove the stake and the tree will be fine. But for that first year, yes, especially the winter, you know, we can get some wicked winds in the winter. And it can really rock that tree and disturb those roots. So it's highly, to me, highly recommended that you stake it, a tree, for the first year. And how you stake it, you know, you can do the three stakes in a triangle around the tree. That will ensure the wind of any direction being secure. Or you can just do two, try to, most of our winds are westerly. So put one on the west side, one on the east side, and a nice tight string holding them both ways. You may have to check it from time to time to tighten it up, and that will secure that tree for the fall and winter into the next spring and summer. And then that next fall, you can remove those stakes and let the tree grow as it will.
Now, talking about, you know, getting your tree, your baby tree through the winter, I'm growing a maple tree naturally.
It
just started to grow on its own in the yard, and I'm wondering if I should do anything to it or just let it go one more season naturally without touching it, because it's gotten that far so far, you know? Is it going to be losing its leaves, or do they keep their leaves when they're that young?
They'll lose them.
Okay.
Yeah. I know we talked about this last week off the air a little bit, but I want to go a little further with it. That young tree, maybe a foot tall, if you can dig dig that tree up and not lose all the soil around it and get most of the root system, you can be very successful in doing it right now. Now, if there's a chance you think that It's probably the soil's going to fall off it when I try to move it. Well, then wait till spring to do it. Or wait till all the leaves are off of it even when it's dormant.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, because I did want to move it to a better location. It's growing in an inconvenient area, of course.
Okay.
As they do, naturally.
Yeah. But, you know, it can be done. It can be done very easily. So wait till all the leaves drop off of it. Now it's dormant. So, again, like I said, stress is the number one killer of plants. There'll be a lot less stress with no leaves on it because it's not actively growing. It doesn't need a lot of water and nutrients because it is going dormant. So you can successfully dig it up. A lot of people even prefer to do what they call bare root them. Dig it up, wash all the soil off, and then prepare a new planting site. Put it in that planting site, spread out the roots, and then backfill it, and maybe even stake it or protect it a little bit through that first winter, so it has a chance to. Those roots, like I said, are gonna grow even in the winter, so it has a chance to get established. And next year, you'll have a nice growing little maple.
Nice. Yeah, it's about 4 feet right now.
Oh, 4 feet?
Yeah,
oh.
It's about as tall as my shoulder.
Boy.
I mean, the tallest leaf, you know, that's sticking out the top of it. But, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it grew. It jumped up this season. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, they're like humans. When they're young, they grow fast.
All of a sudden, like, wait a minute. You blinked and, well, how'd that get that big?
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
And it's a fun thing to do.
So does it already have one of those root flares that you're talking about, like where it starts to flange up at the bottom?
It may be really difficult to see, but there will be a bit of a root flare right where the first set of roots come out laterally from the trunk. There should be a little bit of a flare there.
Okay.
But
I'm going to try to get the whole area around it to dig it up anyway, so hopefully it'll be, you know, the depth that it will be, and I'll just transplant the whole kit and caboodle.
And a lot of people, when they're doing that, digging up a tree or a shrub to transfer it to another area, wet the area the day before.
Mm.
Really soak it, because wet soil sticks together better than dry soil. If you dug it up when it was real dry, probably all the soil would fall right off. So, wet it real well, and it makes it easier to dig, too, when soil is wet.
Okay, great. Hey, by the way, the phone lines are open. If you have a question for Bob, we can take your call at 368-9372. And we're also on Facebook Live. You can log in there and put a comment on the video, and we'll see that and answer your question that way as well.
So, like I said, best time for me and a lot of others for planting that tree, shrub, perennial, grass seed. Also, I can't forget, you know, it's a good time to plant those spring bulbs too, the tulips, daffodils, so on. Good time to get those. I see they're on the market now. So it's a good time to get them planted. The sooner you plant them, the sooner they can start developing roots and getting established, and you'll have a lot better luck that way.
All right. So I guess the back-to-school season is the...
Yeah. Yep.
Late August, early September is the way to go with that. Now, what's the benefit to doing that now? Because they'll sprout up in the spring sooner, those bulbs and things that you're saying?
Yeah, the sooner you plant them, the sooner they will come up. It's not a big difference, you know. It may be only a week or two difference. But the soil conditions are just right now for that bulb to start developing a good root system. So come spring, it'll have that good root system to help that stem grow up there and support the flower.
So a week or two, that's a lot in the spring, though, because you just want to get the ball rolling, you know. Like when that snow melts, it's like, all right, when do we get to see flowers? You know? We need some color. It's so dull.
Yeah.
And then get a jump start on that.
Bulbs are a great way to welcome spring. And they're very, very inexpensive. Probably the cheapest plant you'll ever get. So I've got a few stories to tell, too, because I like to tell stories. And this one's about the lemmings of Norway. And for over 100 years, you know, scientists and botanists and so on were really trying to figure out why these lemmings in Norway once in a while will work their way to the cliffs of Norway and even fall off. I should say jump off, you know, but they don't really jump off. They kind of fall off. And what's happening is, it's all called the mass suicide of the lemmings. On those big bluffs are cotton grass and sedges that the lemmings feed off of. And there's kind of a unwritten rule here between those two. As the lemming population grows, they start eating these grasses and sedges down, and the population grows to the point where the grasses are never allowed to regrow because there's so many lemmings there. So the grasses and sedges have an ability to change their chemical makeup, and they start making a chemical that neutralizes the digestive juices in the lemming. So the lemming thinks it's hungry all the time. And so it just keeps searching for more and more grass till it reaches the edge of the cliff. And, of course, a lot of them fall off. And
so they're not just following each other blindly.
No,
hey, that's
not
a good idea. Whee!
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people think.
Yes, no, they do.
They're in a feeding frenzy.
That's it. Yeah, they're just starving. They think they're starving.
Oh.
And so the population drops way down. And somehow the grasses and sedges realize this. And this all happens in a 24-hour period that they can change from edible to a non-edible grass and then back to an edible grass. Once they have sensed the population of the lemmings is down low enough to where they can start to grow back, those juices, those digestive juices are stopped. And the lemmings can start eating the grasses, and life can carry on as normal. It's just an amazing thing. It took us 100 years to discover that. But there are a lot of chemical changes in a plant, some of them amazing like that. Another one that I'd like to talk about is with the milkweed and the monarch butterfly. The milkweed produces a highly toxic latex in it, a juice in it, that can give a lot of creatures, insects, and animals a heart attack. It can poison them. But the monarch butterfly has developed a system to where it can chew on the milkweed and the poisons will go into the skin of the monarch, not the body of the monarch. So that anybody that tries to eat that caterpillar, they'll taste that poison and leave that caterpillar alone, so it protects that caterpillar. Now, there is one bird that it just kind of amazes me that has discovered this, and it's the black-eyed orioles of California. They catch a monarch butterfly on a milkweed. They will first tear the skin off the monarch that has the poison in it. And then they can eat the rest of the monarch without being poisoned. So it's a really neat thing. It's in the plant world, it's chemical warfare, and the black-eyed oriole has discovered a way around it that no other animal has discovered yet. So that's my stories.
That's your stories. I like that. All right. Well, so, yeah, I'm just writing down just what we talk about because I like to do like a little synopsis of what every show is about.
Okay. When
I put it on demand, by the way. So if you miss any of the shows, you can go back in the archives at WESB.com and see what we talked about. If it looks interesting to you, then click on that play button and we're there for you all times of the year, not just during the gardening show times.
Yeah.
There you go. So we're going to take a short break.
Uh-huh.
Thank our sponsor from Worth W. Smith Hardware, and then maybe we'll talk about what you brought in for show and tell today. Great. So we'll be back in 30 seconds. It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.
At Worth W. Smith Company, you'll find what you need when it comes to shovels, rakes, pruners, and all sorts of other gardening and landscaping tools. Why take the chance of getting splinters from old dried-up cracked handles or the frustration of fighting with the rusty chipped cutting edges on your loppers? Their staff is always eager to lend a helping hand with getting you what you need for the project ahead. Stop and see them today at any of their 6 locations in Bradford, Olean, Salamanca, Cuba, and Eldred. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. And what do you have for us next, Bob?
I've got some mums. I said I was going to bring some mums in last week, and so I remembered and brought some mums in.
Okay.
Now, they come in a lot of different colors, and I just brought in a couple because that's all I can carry. But mums, you know, that's a really well-known fall plant. Great to add color this time of year when everything else is kind of failing us. So check out the mums. They're not all that expensive. Most people just buy them, set them on the front porch, and after Christmas, maybe just throw them away. But there are ways that if you get them early enough and plant them, that they can survive and come back next year. So one of the things you want to do is once it's bloomed and you're getting into winter, they'll probably last till past Thanksgiving, you know. And all the foliage is falling off. You can trim it back a little bit, but not all the way. Leave about 6 inches of the stems showing and maybe throw some mulch right on top of that or some leaves from your lawnmower as you're mowing. Try to shoot all the leaves right at your mums there to try to bury them a bit. That will help protect them through the winter. Mums have very, very shallow root system, so they're not capable of surviving our winter without a little bit of help. So that mulch on top of them or the leaves right in there with those longer stems will catch those leaves and help protect. We call it the crown of the plant, where the plant meets the soil. That's the crown. And that's where a lot of the mums tend to fail, that if you cut it right back to the ground, you've exposed the crown to the winter temperatures. And if we don't get good snow cover, that will freeze and, of course, destroy the mum. So real important, again, to protect that crown either by mulch or by leaves, leaving longer stems to hold that so the winter winds can't blow it away. And you can possibly make one survive. Now, it doesn't always happen, but quite often it does.
I was going to say possibly, so it's not a guarantee.
Yeah, not a guarantee. But there are a lot of mums, you know, if you buy them here locally, that are hardy enough to survive our winter and regrow the next year. And then there's a long process. Well, not a long. Then there's a little bit of a process that once spring comes, you've got to do. And that's come late June, early July. You got to give it a good haircut. Otherwise, a lot of mums can grow 3 or 4 foot tall, which is a little bit too tall for this area. And for their stems, a hard rain or a wind can weigh them down and break them because they are very brittle, their stems. So it's a good idea to give them a nice haircut come late June, early July, and then they will start to develop their buds and you'll have a nice flowering planted mum that you can be proud of that you grew yourself.
When do they start? Do they only start to flower at this time of the year?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's no way you can try to get them to do it a little earlier.
No, you can't. It takes that much time for them to build up the energy.
Yep.
I hope you can see it. You know, there are just hundreds and hundreds of flower buds on these plants. So that takes a tremendous amount of energy to do that. That'd be equivalent, you know, to a human having dozens of babies. You know, take a lot out of you.
Got it.
So they wait and build up their energy source for as long as they can, but they know they got to bloom. why the pollinators are still around before winter hits, and that's how the whole thing works.
Okay, so they do tend to grow too tall for their own good, so
yeah,
you got to help them out a little bit.
In this area, yes, they do. So that haircut in late June, early July is highly beneficial to them, and then just let them go. And, of course, you got to feed and water them from time to time. Nice thick layer of mulch at the base will help out. But they are very big feeders, so they do need some fertilizer.
Oh, okay. Now you have that's like a purple one and an orange one here.
Yeah.
What are some of the other colors that we can get?
They'll be white and yellow and red and orange. My gosh, the colors just go on and on, and they're developing new colors all the time.
Do they ever have? Do they have them yet? Where you they have like a blend?
Yes, they do.
Too?
Yep.
So you could get multicolored ones in one plant.
Yeah. Okay. Multicolored. In the one flower.
Oh, in the one flower,
yeah, not
even.
Not half of it being yellow.
Well, I thought maybe like one's purple, one's yellow, one's red.
Yeah.
But no, they're multicolor in the same flower.
In the same flower,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, where it may be a burgundy outside, fading to a yellow, fading to maybe a white in the very center.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah. And they do have a little bit of a scent, but the best thing about them is their long, long bloom period. You know, they're going to bloom from now till Thanksgiving very easily.
Great. All right. We have about 3 minutes left in the show.
Oh, so okay.
If you wanted to talk about something else or give us a little bit more details on the mums.
I didn't bring that story in to read to you to remind me, but the mums are from China, for number one. And at one time, there was a high-ranking government official in China that they wanted to promote him to even a higher position. And he was at the age where he said no, which was very unheard of. You know, usually an official in China, you just continue to be an official for your whole life. But this one particular guy, and I can't remember his name, has nothing to do with the name of the mum. But he decided, no, I want to retire and enjoy my chrysanthemums in my garden. And so that made the mum well known as what? Boy, I should have brought that story in. You know it.
The retirement plan.
Yeah, the retirement plan. Okay, that one will work too. Yeah. So that's the story in short. Mums come from China, been brought to America back in the 1800s. They have a symbol of rest and relaxation because of that one particular guy in China, that official. And we grow them here because they add a lot of color to our yard this time of year.
We'll call him General Mum.
Yeah.
You heard of General So? Well,
you know,
General Mum.
His name may have been General Mao. Boy, maybe I don't know yet. I forget.
I should have just left it be.
Yeah, you should have. Yeah. I should have brought the story in.
I was trying to make a Chinese food joke because, you know, General So's chicken.
Okay.
So anyway, here we go.
And I didn't get it.
I know.
Jeez.
So we're just about out of time.
Oh,
next week. We'll be back next week, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Do you know, have any idea what we'll talk about next week? What kind of... You have an idea what your show and tell might be?
No, I don't.
What's the good time? You know, this is the time of year where we start to do other things that we don't. I mean,
yeah.
we're not planting vegetables. Are we harvesting anything?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I can talk about that next week.
Okay.
How to harvest certain vegetables and maybe some to let go.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's a good subject.
Yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I almost talked about that this week, but then I thought I wanted to tell some stories and show the mums.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thanks for coming in, Bob, and we'll go home and put our jackets on today. Well, it's going to get a little bit warmer. I think they said the highs in the 60s today,
but
lots of sunshine. So, hey, it'll be a great day to be outside.
Yeah, as long as the sun shines,
you
everything's
got it.
Right.
Absolutely. We'll be back next week right here on B107.5 FM. It's The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith. We'll see you next week, Bob.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye-bye.